let's be honest. To be a successful content creator, there is so much that we have to do for the content. In this weekly podcast, your host, Dre OKK, that's me, I'll be sharing tips and strategies that I use to dominate my social media page, Dre Knows Best, where I grew 5 million followers. I have partnered with brands like Netflix, Google, Amazon, the list goes on. I'll also be having fun conversations with successful content creators about the creative process. The ultimate goal for this Do For The Content podcast is to inspire you to take those first steps into digital creation and help you grow as a creator and ultimately turn your passion into paycheck. So y'all ready? Let's do for the content, y'all. What's good, fam? Welcome back to another episode of Do It For The Content. It's your girl, Dre OKK, or you might know me as Dre Knows Best. And y'all, I'm excited for this episode. If you didn't know already, it is the period of Uncle Sam, aka tax season. And for me, taxes scare me a lot, guys. Taxes scare me a lot because, one, I don't know nothing. I know some stuff, but I don't know much about, like, financing and taxes and all these different terms, big terms that we got to understand, right? And now that I know a little bit more because I had to, because of my business, like I had to hire a CPA, which is a certified public accountant. I had to get a financial advisor. She is amazing, Injideka, on Instagram, NO.O.TheCultures CFO. So now I know a little bit more about taxes and all that kind of stuff and setting up your business. But I feel like for the general public, especially when you're starting off as an entrepreneur or a content creator or a photography business or whatever you're doing, we don't know jack. And I was like, I think we need an episode covering this, covering taxes, covering how to, like, you know, tax planning, how to not overpay taxing and all that jazz. So I was like, what is the better way of doing it than reaching out to a CPA and getting a CPA on this podcast? So I found the perfect one, Shania Wilson, aka the People CPA, and we had a really deep, dope conversation. And she spilled so, y'all, this episode, you gotta get your notepads out because she spilled so many gems that we need to know as entrepreneurs to protect ourselves and to make sure we are conducting business the right way. You know what I'm saying? But of course, before we jump into the episode, I want to give a shout out to a new review we have. Well, this wasn't a review. This was a comment I got on TikTok, and it was from Carlton.Rose. And he was like, Drea Knows Best is the GOAT. If you haven't checked out her podcast, you need to, just by listening to it. She helped me grow my account to 25K followers in 3 weeks. Gonna get 25,000 followers. It's not small Tino in 3 weeks. Well, congratulations to you. And I'm happy this podcast is helping you elevate and grow. And that's the goal for everyone, right? So y'all, if you have not already left the review, I would appreciate a 5-star review because that one also helps, you know, this podcast be seen by more people. And also share your stories with me. Share how this podcast is helping you, because obviously it keeps me motivated to keep creating this new episodes for y'all. And in general, I just love giving y'all tips and strategies. So it's all about that. If y'all need more tips and strategies for TikTok, you already know levelup.dreknowsbest is a TikTok course all in there for y'all. But now let me give y'all some background on who we are guests for today, right? We have Shania Wilson. She is amazing. She has over 7 years of experience in accounting, taxation, entrepreneurship, management, business planning, and financial analysis. Shania, aka at the People CPA, she's a CPA and she possesses the knowledge and depth of experience needed to quickly understand entrepreneurs, businesses, and craft the most sustainable financial solutions. She owns a business called Fola Financial, and they do all that tax planning, entity structure, and growth strategies, and so on and so forth for entrepreneurs and their businesses. And she's been featured in Forbes, CNBC, and T-Mobile, Black Enterprise, New York Times. Hey, this one is correct packaging. But yeah, without further ado, let's dive into this conversation with the People CPA, and let's get you these gems so that way we will not be scared anymore of tax season and set up our businesses correctly for success. What is the craziest thing you've ever done for the content? You know, this is called Do For The Content Podcast. We got to do wild stuff or extra stuff for your content. So what's like the most thing you've ever done for the content?
The most craziest thing I've done for the content is sleep in my makeup. Okay. You know, I'm very big on skincare. And it was like one day I got my face beat. And then my brand manager was like, girl, don't take it off. We're going to wake up the next morning and we're going to shoot some more. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, I saved $100 from not having to get my face beat again.
Look at you, all about finance. Period. Saving money.
Period.
I love it. You know, another thing, though, I feel like you've done really well for the content is your, I don't know if you remember this, your rap.
Oh,
your,
yes.
Your CPA rap, your yes. No overpaying on taxes rap.
Yes.
I love that.
I mean, you know, we can give the audience a sneak preview. They're like, what the rap is? It goes like this, y'all.
Oh, okay. She's doing it. Go ahead.
It goes, man, ain't nobody trying to pay Uncle Sam. Tax season comes and now you're like, damn. Man, I'm just trying to keep all these racks in my pants. Mm. But this is what happens when you don't tax plan.
Ooh, okay. I love that. Talk about, because that video talked about a lot of key things about like, paying Uncle Sam and tax planning.
Yes.
So, you know, on Do It For The Content Podcast, most people that listen to this are aspiring content creators. Mm-hmm. And we talk about content a lot, but we don't really talk about the financial side, right? So can you tell me a bit about overpaying on taxes? Because it's tax season.
Yes.
Do a lot of people overpay on taxes?
They say that around 80% of entrepreneurs overpay on taxes. 80%. And most, more than likely, it's because they don't have knowledge about the tax code and how it actually benefits taxpayers.
Hmm. Tax can benefit us? How?
It can. So number one, the tax code, I look at it as being a blueprint to wealth building, right? Yeah. And I say that because you realize that you get more tax credits for the amount of assets you have, the more businesses you have, having dependents, saving for your retirement account, buying a house, owning a home, like things that are good for your wealth building, you get tax credits for. So a lot of people who complain about overpaying in taxes, they don't fully comprehend how the tax code can be used as a blueprint to wealth building, but then more so how your current endeavors can allow you to pay a lot less in taxes also.
Really? Mm-hmm. So does that also apply to people like, okay, for example, I'm a content creator. Am I an independent contractor, right? If I'm a content creator, or do I, If I'm not signed to LLC, I'm independent contractor.
Pretty much. So if you don't have a business and you're operating just on your own, you're a default independent contractor. You're looked at as self-employed individual, so you're filing your taxes on the form Schedule C. Now, once you incorporate and have an LLC, you are still an independent contractor to whoever is contracting your entity, but you now have an entity that's also growing on its own, which is very powerful. So to have a business that you can have operational revenue and expenses go through, you can now go up for funding or for loans from the bank, which can help you expedite your wealth building journey that way as well.
Okay. All right. Let's, what is the benefit of being an independent contractor versus being an LLC?
Okay.
Cause you said a certain tax planning benefit. So what is the benefit of me being independent contractor versus an LLC versus S corp? Cause that's like the big one.
Yep.
Even like my videographer over here, I was asking him, are you an LLC yet? He's like, no, but everyone says I should become an LLC. So it's like, why should I?
So the thing is, once you become an LLC, you're now solidifying yourself as operating as a separate entity, right? The reason why we're, you know, entrepreneurs and we're independent contractors is hopefully we're working for freedom, but then also to sustain that freedom in our future.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and incorporating your LLC now is allowing you to do business as a business on paper, right? We want to start to remove ourselves from our business. And when you are independent contractor, you are essentially your business. When you have LLC, your business is your business. You are you. You are a part of your business and you may be a part of your business's brand building, but your entity is now a standalone thing. So now you have two players on your chessboard is you and your business. Most individuals have one. And again, as I said, to take advantage of the tax code, you want more and more. Most wealthy individuals have over 50 LLCs. You know, they have a lot more.
You're allowed to do that.
There's no cap on what you can do, baby.
Hey, look at that. Wow. Okay. So having more business entities to your name, I'm trying to understand Why?
Like, how would it add more?
How would that help benefit me with the tax code?
Like, so now imagine I want to deduct my life, which is possible, right? I want to deduct everything that I do. I want it to be a tax deduction. If I want to drive nice cars, I can start a car rental business. And now guess what? I can just take my inventory out for test drives. You know, just, now I got a whole fleet of nice cars, but it's not cost me nothing because guess what? It's operating under my business. If I want to live in nice mansions, even if I have my little apartment, if I have a real estate business, I now have access to assets that I can still live my lavish life in, right? Mm. And the good thing about doing it under business, these things are tax deductible, right? Ooh. If I want to be a foodie, I can start a whole blog, right? Yeah. And guess what? All of my meals are now free. Why? Because eating is a part of me conducting my business. It's now a business expense. So really, the more that you do in business, you can see how you can deduct more of your life expenses through businesses.
Okay. So as an independent contractor, we can deduct certain things. Is it different?
So there's no limitations on what you can deduct as long as those expenses are ordinary and necessary for your operations. So say, for example, you're a content creator. So ordinary in your field is going to be things like equipment. So from our camera to our microphones to our lighting. Now, for me to deduct those as a CPA, it don't really make sense. Like, all right, you're not over here trying to produce a CPA TV show. Are you not? Mm-hmm. But you can. So really, ordinary is that one piece. And then the second thing is it has to be necessary, meaning that in order for you to conduct your business, you had to incur that expense. So as long as whatever you spend your money on as a business owner falls into those two rules, ordinary and necessary, it's a tax deduction.
Ordinary and necessary, major key. Yes. I started learning that too last year because I recently, like, again, started doing more, you know, learning more about knowledge finances. Mm-hmm. And I realized, okay, if I'm buying certain clothes for my clothes, those are tax deductible because I need to wear clothes in my content. Mm-hmm. If I'm traveling, that's another big one that I learned to travel. Because for me, as long as I travel somewhere and I'm making content, like if I'm traveling to like France now, I'm making content while I'm in France, that's like my ticket, right? It's tax deductible.
Exactly.
My hotel is tax deductible. Exactly. My meals are tax deductible.
Period.
Like,
you're writing off your whole life.
Wow.
Yeah, people always say, like, you know, rich people never pay taxes. Well, they understand the tax code. Why am I going to pay tax if I can write everything off, right? Mm. And the thing about it is, I said, the tax code is a blueprint to building wealth. You get honored for creating wealth, and not just for yourself, but for others. So as business owners, you do get special credits for having your employees, right? Mm. You get special credits for giving your employees retirement plans and stuff like that.
What do you mean certain credits for having employees? So hiring people? Because I want to talk about this because me, I'm cheapo. I don't want to hire, I don't want to stop paying anybody. Even paying videographer, I'm like, Jesus Christ. So what are the benefits of hiring people for my business?
Yeah. So actually, if you hire someone who's a felon, you do get a special credit for that. Because sometimes people can have felonies and you never, you know, the court system, we ain't got to talk about that on this podcast. Yeah, you're doing it for the content, not for the courtroom, right? But if you hire like somebody who has like a felon, you do get a tax credit for having that person on your staff. Wow. And even like through COVID last year, there's a special employee retention credit. So for those people who had employees and kept them on throughout the panoramic, they were able to also get a credit as well.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What's like the credit? Like, was it like $1,000 check?
So it just depends upon how much they paid in total wages. And for those that they paid for the staff that were on throughout the pandemic. And then also for retirement, for example, as an entrepreneur, but also for your staff, you get tax deductions for contributing to retirement accounts. So benefiting your retirement account, and that can be done through a SEP IRA if you are an entrepreneur who is an independent contractor or LLC owner. Or you can even look into speaking with a financial advisor to get you set up with a 401k and a Roth IRA. These type of accounts do give you tax benefits, whether now or in the future. But imagine now you're getting tax benefits and deductions for contributing to your retirement. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's real good. Okay, so you're putting money away instead of putting money. That's another thing that I had to learn too, and I'm still learning. I hope y'all learning too, is like, instead of just leaving money in my savings, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just there. You can put it in a retirement account.
Exactly.
And then it's like, how does that work? Is it tax deduction one,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Because let's understand what that means. I want to really, because even me, when my financial advisor was explaining tax deduction, I was not understanding how I put money into my retirement account and then I'm getting tax deduction.
Yes.
So let's just say you put $1,000 in your retirement account. Mm-hmm. How is it like the IRS looks like, okay, she put $1,000 away, so you minus that from the gross revenue you made.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So we look at your gross revenue and then whatever we lessen from that is typically going to be an expense or a deduction, right?
Yeah.
So when you contribute to your retirement account, it's an expense. It is you, yes.
Okay, okay,
so again, for the SEP IRA, for example, that maximum contribution is around $58,000 that you can contribute for the year. That's a big amount. So imagine making $100,000 and you can contribute over half that and get a deduction for it. And now we're looking like net income is looking like $40,000. That's a lot better than paying taxes on $100,000.
Okay, yes. I like that. Explains a lot. All right, because it's like, okay, you made $100,000 profit, but if you deduct, I spent $20,000 on travel, $10,000 on food, $20,000 in my my whatever it's called, my retirement account, then you only made the $40,000.
Exactly.
I know the math was wrong, y'all, but y'all get the point. they get the point. No, but I love that a lot. It's just like crazy that these are things that we don't know, right? Because for me, tax season is so scary. I'm not lying. I don't know how you do it. Shout out to Full Off Financial because y'all do it for so many people, right? Tax planning, tax deduction, helping us not overpay on taxes because it's like, it just to be scary. And I just rather do my taxes myself at first. But then when I started making more revenue, it's like, okay, I need help. But when is that time that you think people need CPAs in their life?
That's a great question. So honestly, specifically for business owners, we'll start there and I'll get into everybody else.
Let me just clarify. CPA is Certified Public Accountant, right?
Yes.
Versus just getting a regular accountant.
Over here. We're your whole CPA. Yeah. Okay. But essentially, I always recommend that business owners get at least a consult in the beginning from both a CPA, a lawyer, and a financial advisor. I call that creating your A team. So you have your accountant, CPA, your advisor, your financial planner, financial advisor, and your attorney as well. You should have understanding of, okay, if I'm starting off a business, what should I be doing and in what direction should I be moving for my finances, for my legal entity, my protection, and also just for the operation aspect of running a business. And that's what you can get from those three people. So I would say in the beginning, a consult is sufficient just so you can have direction. Now, once you start getting to the point where revenue is coming in, we're growing a team, and your finances start to become a little bit more complex, you do want to just have a CPA just more involved in your business. Here at Fola Financial, we meet with our clients at a minimum on a quarterly basis, right? A lot of CPA firms meet with their clients only during tax season. And it's doing the client a disservice because really the work is done throughout the year before the year is over.
Ooh.
You want to make sure that your CPA is explaining to you how you're performing. You know, I like to say that we are the accountants that hold you accountable to your financial goals.
Right.
We're going to look at, okay, you say you're going to do $250,000 in Q2. Where we at with that, right? Did we pass that? Did we exceed that?
Yeah.
And if we did, we can now project how much you're on track to make for the full year.
Right.
I can use your net income to forecast your tax liability, and I can help you tax plan to make that a minimal as possible. Right.
What do you mean by that? My tax liability, like how much I should pay towards the IRS?
Exactly. Because as a business owner, if you are owing the IRS more than $1,000 for a tax year, you should be making quarterly estimated payments every single quarter.
Oh.
Yes.
So every quarter, so now there's not just March 15th that I'll be paying Uncle Sam. Every quarter I got to pay Uncle Sam. Why should I be doing that? Please.
So as W-2 employees, every time they get paid, you get your tax withheld from your paycheck, right? It's either going to be a gross income, then you get your net, and that's what you get actually paid out, right?
Yeah.
For entrepreneurs, we can keep all our money in our pocket whenever we get paid.
Yeah, we don't get taxed. Yeah, it's nice. Until when?
Until March.
Tax season. Yeah. Okay, yeah, but go on.
Yes. But if you are owing the IRS more than $1,000, they want you to make quarterly estimated tax payments. They use our tax payments to fund the government and state budgets, right? Mm-hmm. So think of our parks, our libraries, our public schools. So, you know, they want their money just more frequently.
Yeah,
in this way, it also allows you as an entrepreneur to better cash flow plan, which is also good. At least, you know, you don't have to wait to submit a lump sum at year end to pay your taxes. We can break it up into quarterly payments. It just does a lot better for you just knowing, okay, this is in my budget now, you know, because it should be a part of your budget.
Dang, budgeting is crazy how important that is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more helpful, like, since when I hired a CPA last year, it's kind of realizing that, okay, because we did that whole thing of like paying quarterly in taxes.
Yep.
And I hated every moment of it because I'm like, ow. But it did help me this year when I finished doing my taxes and I didn't owe as much as I thought I was going to because I was paying that quarterly
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if I want to, I want to backtrack a little bit again and talk about the different types of, is it entities, right? Mm-hmm. The LLC, S Corp.
Yes.
Like, I'll tell you my story. When I was forming my LLC, I went ahead and I took advice from this accounting guy. He was like, create an LLC, but get taxed as an S Corp, mm-hmm. right? And I thought that was beneficial. And this seems to be working for me now, right? Mm-hmm. But I think a big thing that what I would like to hear from you explain is like for entrepreneurs, especially as a content creator, which one should we go for? Should we go for LLC? Do we go for S Corp? Do we go for, you know, so many of them.
What do we do?
What is the difference? Help me. You know?
That's a great question. So essentially, when you're starting off a business, you want to start by selecting your entity type. And that can be different from your tax type because some entities can be taxed several different ways.
Yeah.
For example, an LLC, if a single member, can be taxed as a sole prop, that's going to be Schedule C. It can also be taxed as an S Corp. It can also be taxed as a C Corp, right? And this all just depends on various factors in your business, how you operate, you know, what you contribute to, and also just the amount of other income you have outside of your business will dictate, okay, how we should tax your business. So just to kind of get started, with LLCs or people who are 1099 contractors, you're filing a form Schedule C where you have your income, your expenses, whatever your net income is, you are paying ordinary income tax on that. Additionally, you're paying 15.3% in self-employment taxes, right?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Yes. I want to make sure I got that. Mm-hmm. These are people for 1099 independent contractors.
Yep.
We're paying additional 15%.
15.3%.
15.3% on taxes because we're 1099.
Yep.
And this is when you're 1099, you're not an LLC.
But it doesn't matter because in both, you're still the same tax classification, which is a sole proprietor.
Okay, continue.
So that 15.3% is essentially what you would have been paying as an employee if you were getting your FICA withheld, which is your Social Security and your Medicare. So you do get charged that on top of your ordinary income. So this is where S Corp comes in. So again, LLCs can be taxed as an S Corp. What S Corps do is allow you to avoid paying that 15.3% on all of your net income. Yes.
There's always different loopholes. CPAs. Continue.
Yes. So essentially, once you make that S election, you're now not a sole proprietor. You're an S Corp. You're a shareholder. So your distributions are taxed as dividends, which are taxed at just ordinary income.
What are distributions?
Distributions is your net income from your business, or if you take out anything, if you don't want to take out distributions, you don't have to, but most of us ask pass through, like whatever your net is your retained earnings. So that money, because you're paying taxes on it, it's entitled to you. So it's your distribution.
So whatever money I'm making is my distribution?
Your leftover. So leftover. After your expenses.
Okay, after my expenses and my distribution. Okay, sorry. Exactly. I just had to make sure you know what that was.
So now, again, you basically got to avoid 15.3% taxes. Yes. That's a huge tax savings, right? Mm. The caveat to that, though, is that with an S Corp, you should be also paying yourself a salary. Because you save so much of that 15.3%, the IRS is like, you got to put yourself on payroll because they get to recoup their taxes, which is your FICA, your Medicare, your Social Security as well. So you definitely want to put yourself on payroll if you are going to be an S Corp. But in the great grand scheme of things, imagine netting $200,000 of that. You paid yourself out $50,000 in the salary because that's reasonable compensation for what you do for your business.
Yeah.
The remaining of that $150,000 is not going to be subject to that 15.3% in taxes. So that's how much you'll save, which is that's like, what, $30,000 right there.
Okay. Okay. I think I like this. I like this a lot. I wanted that last statement you just said. So imagine we made $200,000, right? And then you paid yourself. Mm-hmm. You're paying yourself. That's still your money. Exactly. Paid yourself $50,000. Mm-hmm. So now that $150,000 is not going to be subjected to that
additional 15.3% in taxes.
Because you're being taxed in S Corp.
Exactly.
But if you were just an LLC,
that whole $200,000.
Wow.
15.3%.
Okay, what if you're an LLC and you hired yourself? Would you still be taxed that extra 15% on that $150,000?
So no. So I mean, if you're LLC, yes, you will. Yes. So you want to convert to S Corp. I do have some entrepreneurs that come to me, "Hey, I pay myself a salary, I have payroll." And they tell me that they never made that selection. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, you just don't know how much money you just left. Not left. Well, you gave out, yes, you know, yeah, for no yeah, reason because yeah. you didn't know. So, yeah.
Okay, I see. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's like, that's, I like that you actually touched on the idea of hiring yourself, right? And paying yourself salary, because mm-hmm. I wanted to even know. That's one. I was going to ask one of my questions. I'm going to ask you, like, what's the benefit of hiring yourself?
Yeah.
And also you touched on the benefits of hiring other people too.
Yes.
But also, but you talked about hiring people, like, for example, hiring ex-cons or hiring, but what are also benefits of, like, hiring other people just in general? Hiring. Mm-hmm.
So hiring other people, number one, is an expense, right? And then when we expense, we want to make sure that we're doing conscious spending, right? Whenever you're making expenses in your business, you want to make sure that you're spending on things that's going to make you more money. There's that, right?
True.
So imagine, you know, you can get into, and this is what tax planning is for, get into the habit of, okay, I made all this money. I spent it on these employees. I spent it on these expenses for my business. I spent this on buying some new merch. And now I year end, my bank account looking low, but my net income is low. So I'm paying low taxes. But because of what I invested in throughout the year, I make double my income that I made last year.
Oh,
you know, so because
you got to invest in your business.
Exactly. So the cycle never ends. It never ends. If you do it the right way, you won't really ever pay a lot in taxes. Like, yeah. I don't pay a lot in taxes.
Yeah.
You know, granted, I coach my clients how to do so, but I make sure that I don't either. You know, like, throughout the year, I'm buying my staff, you know, new equipment, with to get some laptops, mm-hmm. get some iPads. Who needs a second screen? What y'all need?
Okay.
Work more efficiently so that my business can grow.
And that's a business expense. Exactly. So when you're buying them, the iPads and the laptop, it's for work.
Exactly.
But it's a business expense.
Exactly.
Okay. And then it's a deductible. We are learning.
We are learning.
I am grabbing all this. These are gems. Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay. Let me see. Because I wrote down some questions too. I want to make sure I don't miss these questions. Let me look at what I wrote down.
I guess in the interim as well, because we did go over LLC and S-Corp. Remember, LLC can be taxed as sole props, as S-Corps, or as C-Corps. Because some people ask me, like, oh, no, is S-Corp good for me always? And the answer to that is no. S-Corps are only beneficial when it's beneficial. S-Corps are a pass-through, which means that your net income is going to be subject to your ordinary income tax rate, which can range from 0 to 37%. So if I'm netting like 40K, all right, fine. I'm probably going to pay 16% effective tax rate. It's not going to be a lot. But now imagine an entrepreneur who nets $1 million, right? Mm. If they are S-Corp, they're probably going to be pushed more towards that 37% in taxes. So I may advise them, let's not be S-Corp no more. Let's be C-Corp. Because C-Corps actually...
C-Corp. Oh, God.
C-Corp.
There's too many of them. Too many. This is why you just need to hire a CPA and pay them money.
Pretty much. Bible Fola.
Okay, right. Bible Fola. Yes, period.
But a C-Corp, there's pretty much your standard, like, corporations. So they provide a lot more protection. But C-Corps also allow you to deduct charitable contributions, which is a great tax hack. And also, the fixed tax rate is 21%.
Talk about that a little bit more.
Yes.
The tax hack.
It's a fixed tax rate. So, again, imagine $1 million net from my S-Corp. I'm probably going to pay 37% of taxes. That's ridiculous.
Mm.
Why do that when I can lock in 21% by being a C-Corp? You know, that's saving me around 16-15% taxes just by switching to C-Corp.
Wow.
Geico should hire me. That
yeah. Come on, Geico. I love it. No. It's also interesting because when you learn these kind of like certain loopholes, I also see like when big influencers do like, I bought my fan a car, I bought my best friend a car. Mm-hmm. It's like they bought such a large thing because they know it's a business expense. They bought it for a video, you know, giving out iPhones, all that kind of stuff, tax deductions.
Exactly.
I mean, they're still kind, nice and generous influencers, but at the end of the day, their CPA is probably telling them, spend more money.
Think about
your business, spend more money.
Especially with influencers, like, you know, the whole G-Wagon phase that happens every Q4 of every year. It's not a coincidence that happens, right? So imagine G-Wagons are $130,000. If you get, they typically weigh more than 6,000 pounds. That will allow it to be eligible for Section 179 depreciation, which means even if you finance that bad boy, you can deduct the full 130K.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Significant tax savings. Yes.
So that whole, all the, I'm mind blown. You deduct that whole chunk. Because that's actually a question I had too. Do they deduct when it's like for regular tax deductions? Is it the whole like let's just say you spent $100 on a new iPhone, mm-hmm. are they going to deduct that minus $100
from your tax liability,
or is it like a 20%? Or
so pretty much is, I would say the best is like a good 30 cents to a dollar is the best way to kind of fill it up. So like,
I don't understand what that means.
How much you spend in your deductions. So say if you spend $100 in tax deductions, that can maybe give you a $30 tax savings.
Okay.
So it's more like a 30%.
Okay.
30,
okay.
Yeah, it's not
okay.
one-to-one
it's at
all.
It's not the one-to-one. We wish. Hey, yeah, okay. that's a good thing we talk. It's not one-to-one. Don't go and buy the whole world and think. But yeah, it's okay. It makes sense.
Yes.
I had a question. I go, yeah, so with keeping records, because that's important too,
very
right?
important.
What kind do we have to keep the receipt for everything, mm-hmm. or what's the best ways to keep records? I was
yep.
asked that.
Mm-hmm. So all right, so for everyone who's an entrepreneur, definitely you want to keep records, because God forbid you get an audit, know that is yeah. never on your tax preparer. It's on you to furnish mm-hmm. those receipts. Like, all right, here's right. what I spend my money on. Here's my receipts. Here's my tickets. So, yes. So, you want to keep your records on hand for a reason. If you get audited, they're going to ask you for those to show that you actually incur those expenses.
They ask you for each thing, or they ask you for the lump sum, like all the receipts?
Everything. You should have a receipt for everything. You should. Oh, God. You should. The best way to go about it is by making sure your receipts are all digital. Like, I coach my clients, like, make a receipts at whatever your company name, Gmail. You know, like, go that way so you can yeah. just forward all your receipts to that email. Whenever you're going out to eat, forward it to that email.
Oh,
so it's a little
smart.
Bit easier, because you know we you know, us as millennials, we're so creative, but it also makes us more lazy, which is why we're so creative. We create different ways to get things done
the lazy way. Yeah, and more efficiently. Yeah, exactly. That's the word. Efficiently.
Exactly. Remember, yeah. No, we're not lazy, we're efficient.
We
efficient. But yeah, so you want to keep your receipts on hand. So best practice is to keep everything. If you use QuickBooks, they do have a feature where you can upload your receipts in there and tag them to your specific transactions. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're doing like audit compliance and receipt record keeping at the same time.
I like that.
So it's that's a great thing.
Sorry, it's funny you mentioned QuickBooks, because it 2 years ago, I would have been like, oh, QuickBooks, you got to pay for that subscription. But now I'm like, that is a tax deductible thing. It's a
yes.
business expense. Pay for the subscription, Drea.
Exactly.
You get what I mean? So yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And again, with expenses, it makes you operate more efficiently, because I guess with bookkeeping, you have more visibility into your numbers, so you can understand yes. what's going on and how to grow your business.
Mm-hmm.
So your business expenses, again, should be consciously, you know, incurred to help you grow your business in other ways.
Yeah.
So yes, the receipts. Always want to keep receipts as much as you can, for sure. Now, if you don't have all your receipts, because it happens to sometimes, like, oh, I actually lost this receipt because they gave it to me paper-wise, don't get too caught up over it. You can typically, as long as your expense that you can support that is ordinary deductible, there is an IRS case that was won for somebody who didn't have adequate records. They were basically able to use a reasonable amount to figure out what your expenses should be. So for example, if you have travel in your industry, what is the standard amount that somebody's spending in travel?
Right.
We can use that as a benchmark. Granted, that's more advanced, you know, tax compliance if you get to that situation, but just know that if you don't have all the receipts, don't feel too bad. We can, you know, figure out another way to like make your books whole, but best practices, definitely make sure that you are record keeping. And you want to keep your stuff on hand from at least 5 to 7 years. Yes.
Okay, that's why you do email, because
yes.
it's always going to be in
there
the server.
Go.
Okay.
There we go.
Because
you don't want to have all these shoe boxes in your closet piled up. That's a little ghetto. It's a little ghetto.
Right. Yeah, we're not doing that. 2022. We are now efficient.
Exactly. Efficient.
I love it. I think earlier you said something about, okay, with all the deductions we do, we keep the receipts.
Yes.
When we now do the taxes, right? Two things about tax, but let me finish my first thought. Is about how should your business reflect financially for it to look like your business is doing good. I'll talk about my story, because 3 years ago I would go to this guy at Long Beach in this small little office, as he would do my taxes, but he would literally deduct everything to the point when it looks like I didn't make any money at all that year.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now fast forward to last year, when I was in the process of like doing things that required looking at my tax return, like mm-hmm. making purchases that required looking at my tax return.
Right.
And then they're like, your business has not been profitable. Your tax returns look very bad.
Exactly.
So that's my question is, how far should we go with deducting to be a point where like our business still looks good? Like, how does
yeah.
our business, yeah, that's, you, I don't know if you get what my question
yeah.
is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So there's so many factors that go into answering this question. The biggest thing that I can start with first is understand, like, what are your personal goals? So even when we tax plan for our clients, there may be some years when we are a lot more aggressive than others. If my client is saying, hey, girl, I'm trying to buy a house next year or the year after, we probably won't go too crazy with, you know, digging into their lives and maximizing deductions because you want to look better on paper.
Yes.
Right? Now, for our clients that are a little bit more established and maybe able to leverage things like equity to help them finance their wealth endeavors, we can probably go crazy and deduct whatever we can. Right? So it really depends on what your goals are. That is why we tax plan. So we are being proactive. Because what you don't want to do is look terrible on paper. Because you have to ask yourself, if you was the lender or the mortgage officer, would you give yourself a loan if you got negative net income on your tax return? let's be real.
No, they won't. No, they sure won't. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Right. I wouldn't lend myself. Right. I don't care how much I trust myself. I'm not doing it. Okay.
That makes sense. If you're planning for the, that's why I don't like planning, y'all. I really don't. I don't. I just like to live in
but
a moment.
But you plan content.
I mean, I do. That's because I'm learning. I'm trying to be a better person in my career. But it makes sense. Like, you know, you're planning to buy a house. Don't go to that person and that tax CPA in a small office.
In Long Beach
is going to make your tax look like you made negative $10,000 just so you don't owe Uncle Sam, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
When you plan, you can deduct based on what you're planning
what
for
your
the
goals
future,
are, right? Because then the thing is, if you need to like show income other ways, imagine, okay, we can save in taxes if rather than having all your net income be just from what I was left over, let's put you on salary. So even if you have zero net income, you still got a $60,000 W-2, right? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So again, you definitely want to make sure that whatever you're doing in your business aligns with what your goals are,
right?
First and foremost.
That's true. Also knowing the difference between Drea versus her business, right?
Exactly.
Like, Drea didn't make money versus the business made money, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So you, the benefits of separating the two. And if
we got more players on the field, we can make a lot more money and deduct all against it because guess what? I look good on paper.
Okay.
So I'm good, right?
Wow. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Speaking of goals, Let's take this because we've covered a lot. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear about what are your goals with Fola Financial, and you know, because you've had the business since 2017, right?
Yes, that's
right. 2017. You're helping people save money and, you know, with tax planning and all that as a CPA. But what are your goals for the future of Fola Financial?
Yes, that's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that.
Really?
You.
Well, I'm happy to be the first.
Thank you. Honestly, like, our goal is to just keep pursuing our mission, which is really to empower others through the use of education and economic enrichment. And that's what we take pride here on IFOLA. We not only help businesses grow their businesses for their future, but it's more so the educational aspect. I love for our clients to feel empowered that they now know a lot more on how to conduct their business, but also how to properly save in taxes at the same time. Because,
right.
you know, helping them save in wealth goes one way, but the knowledge lasts forever, right?
Ooh, that's
so that's so important to us here at Fola. Something that we have coming up for that mission is Fola Financial Literacy Month, which is in April.
Yay.
Super excited. So we're going to remix Financial Literacy Month and really just add more value to our communities. So we're going to ask everyone to like take a Fola Financial Pledge, which is saying that you're going to participate. For a few weeks, you'll be getting financial affirmations with deeds to follow so that you can actually help yourself not only mentally, you know, reconnect with your abilities to take control of your finances, but you'll have action steps on how to help you achieve that as well. So I'm super passionate about all things financial literacy. That's all I eat, live, and breathe so much that I got a tatted on my wrist.
Oh, you really? Wow.
Yeah, I really do love what I do. I love helping people, and I just love how more empowered people feel once they take control of their finances.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't tell me I'm not a babby when I got my bank account healthy,
I got assets.
I want everyone to feel that excitement of just knowing that they did what they needed to do to secure their financial future.
Yes, the people CPA, y'all, out here doing it for the people.
Period.
I love that your financial literacy for your thing you're doing for the financial literacy month. You're not just giving affirmations. One thing to say, I will be wealthy, I will be taxed, I will save money, but it's also more important to give them the steps.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, wow. That's cool. I wish you the best of luck. Like, thank you so much for coming to the podcast and giving us so much information. Y'all, This are gems, man. Please let us know, where can everyone find you?
Yes, feel free to follow me on Instagram at the People CPA, and then you can follow Fola Financial, F-O-L-A Financial. And you can visit our website at FolaFinancial.com.
I love it. Thank you, boo.
Thank you for having me. This was great.